Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Align the Non-Apologetic, a podcast where we showcase stories of women claiming their identities, stepping into their power, and living their life as their full-ass self, unapologetically. My name is Antoinette, your coach, Unapologetic. Join me as we dive into the riveting and inspiring stories of my guests to empower you to start your unapologetic journey. Let the work begin. In this episode, I am honored to share the mic with a coach friend, uncontrolled goddess, Jazzy. She generously shared her story and shared with us the answer to the biggest question: what is self-worth? We also talked about how easily you can fall into abuse when you don't know and value yourself. Fortunately for us, she also shared some techniques in finding your self-worth and become your best authentic version. Lean in and take notes. Here we go.
Again, thank you, Jazzy, so much for being on the show, for recording totally behind my back. Like, ooh, Jazzy blocked the recording. Although I've been meaning to. Yeah, and it's the projector in me who always needed to be invited and like who always needed to get invitation that, hey, I'm interested to be on your show. But like that is a red carpet grand invitation. You did not even like have to say anything. You're just like, hey, sis, I am in your calendar. We're recording an episode for your show. And like so honored that you want to tell your story and all about you in my show. Without further ado, welcome, Jazzy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is a pleasure, actually. Just from the very beginning, I've connected to your vibe and I'm like, okay, I feel where she's going. I enjoy where she's going. So thank you. But I am Jazzy Sedilic. I am she. I am her. I am of, I want to say African-American descent, but I also have Native. I feel more connected to my Native American ancestors, just to be honest. So I'm really wanting to learn more about that side of my heritage because I'm connected to the land. I definitely feel connected to the land. I am a certified holistic coach. I am the mindset coach. I'm also a certified Reiki master. I'm an author and a poet. I'm just all around creative, I would say. I love creativity. I believe it is a gift. I believe we all possess it, and I love to share. I just love to share freely.
I love that, and I love you. I'm like, I feel the same when I met you. I know that's a sister inside that body. Thank you for that introduction. I was just telling Jazzy before we started recording that we actually pushed this recording for whatever. I had a download during our recording, our original recording date, and we had to push it. The universe was just not getting along with us at that day. But also I had to download that. And I shared to Jazzy what that was, that I am from the very beginning always taken care of and I always have provision. And I said I needed time to soak that in instead of recording. And so here we are today. And in addition to rebooking the session, I also asked to have time to read her book. So I'm going to link Jazzy's book below and how you can get it. To me, what it has done is it reignited my love for writing and in poetry and like how I act on intuition in my writing and poetry. I cannot do that as a work where I am expected to produce like artistic writing on, you know, on a schedule, because I'm very intuitive like that. And most of the time my writings are not for me. And I've not written any poem whatsoever since I got children, since kids kept popping out of my body. And so it has been more than a decade since I wrote anything at all. I mean, I've been writing SOPs, guidelines, business management stuff, website copies, yeah, social media posts. I've been writing letters to schools and stuff. but have not been back to my poetry. And reading Jazzy's book like reignited that for me. So thank you so much. To my listeners, by the way, I am not feeling so well today. I'm actually in the peak of my colds, like the very worst day of your cold. And I didn't want to cancel today's session because, first of all, we've already rebooked it. But I know that Jazzy is cool and that I'm so lucky that the people that I'm connected with are okay with rescheduling. And that's not being seen as unprofessional or anything like that. I know that would be cool if we rescheduled. And partly, I will admit that it's that internalized capitalism in me that doesn't want to not show up when you're, you know, committed to something. But I think more importantly is that I want to show, and I was telling this to Jazzy before I start recording, I want to show this piece of me as well. I mean, that I'm such a mess in a beautiful artistic way. I want to say that and claim that. Because to me, I live for systems and process and having a checklist and like everything in its place and in order. And then I'll just mess it all up because I feel like there are different phases of normal. And I am all about systems. I'm all about like getting things organized and showing up in a nice, neat, cleaned way. But I'm also all about showing up messy. And it's equally as important and equally as impactful. So here I am in my full-blown cold. And you might hear a cough here and there in this episode, but still showing up. And that's not to say that you want to push yourself whenever you're feeling not, you know, you're not your 100% and have to do work or whatever it is, show up for a podcast. This to me is not work. I love my podcast. So I'm not required to be here, but I'm here because I want to. And I'm here because my message is you can show up naked and still deliver your message. I mean, it'll be good if you have clothes on, but you can show up as messy as you want. But if you have the right intentions and you have the right tools and you're talking to the right people and delivering the right messages that they need to hear, you will be heard. You will be received and validated and you will be of service. And so I'm showing up in all my messiness in this episode to show you that, to let you know that a lot of my episodes are highly edited, but also there's still that human part in us. And that's a piece of what my podcast is all about. So moving on to Jazzy, tell me about the background of what you do as a coach.
Sure. Before I get into that, I do want to say I purposely picked today when we rescheduled for the 29th because for the last month or so, I've been seeing 29. My angel number has been 29, like on every hour. So I'm glad that you still were able to show up for me and of course show up for yourself on the 29th. So I think everything is becoming aligned within that, considering I keep seeing that number. So,
ooh, I love that. I just got goosebumps. I've checked in my body as well if I am, you know, energetically present for this. And I actually am. I feel light. It's just my physical earth body that's sick right now. But my spirit and my soul is 100% here. I'm like, I checked in. Can I do it? Am I ready for it? I'm actually excited and looking forward to this. So I'm like, yeah, let's go.
And it's just me.
Yes. I thought of just showing up 5 minutes before our recording time. I was wearing just my underwear and like all the messy hair. And I'm like still like out of the bed look. But I'm already in my colds and all my sickness. And I feel like I need a little pick me up. So let me just like put on this earrings that I made by your suggestion.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I pushed on creating the earrings as well. Put on some earrings, put on some, you know, a little bit of powder, a little bit of highlighter. And that's magic to me. Like that transformed me into this version of myself where I could be dying and I could still like, you know, speak up on stage or do a podcast show. So that's my secret. But yeah, I love that. I love that we have this space together and it's just you and me and we're chill. If you all can see us in the video, we are in our own sofas. I'm in my sofa. Jazzy's in her sofa. We're all chill.
Very chill. My robe. Oh, man. So with my life coaching, I only have women clients because I connect with women because I understand them more on the space they're in versus who they really are. And I know that it's possible for them to get to a certain part of their lives that they feel comfortable and feel authentic. So when people hear a mindset, they automatically think about thoughts, which thoughts is a huge starting point for mindset. But with my coaching, I also look at feelings, intuition, actions. I am the acronym queen. So mindset actually stands for mental insight, new direction, stimulated, elevated truth. So I am the mindset coach. So I look at all factors of a woman's being. My coaching surrounds self-confidence, self-worth, just being authentic and knowing that it's okay to show up and to that sense of yourself, to still be able to show up for yourself, even when you don't feel like it's a perfect situation or a perfect scenario, but you're still here and you're still accepting your truths. And also a lot of my coaching deals with healing. There's different levels of healing. And sometimes we don't know that we have to heal before we can get to the next step. Sometimes we don't acknowledge or even consider, like, I was actually traumatized by this situation because we were told this very limited belief that we have to be strong all the time. And that is definitely not true. So we push through life without acknowledging things that has shaped us, but also things that we have to get past. We have to sit in it and feel in it and have an inspired action behind it in order to move past it.
I love that. I know that you've been coaching for so long. Do you mind sharing how long you've been a coach?
Oh, goodness. Yes, I've been a coach since 2013. So it's been 8 years.
I love that. So my question would be, what led you to coaching?
It's me. It's interesting because when people always ask that question, I revert back to the Starting Over House. And it was a home with women who were working with life coaches to get their stuff back together so they can go back home to their families. And I was so fascinated because, I mean, that is something I have been doing my entire life. So up until that point, I believe that was maybe in 99, up until that point, I've never heard of a life coach. So that thought was always in the back of my head, like, I want to become a life coach. So I end up in college. I got a degree in social work because I always had the desire to help people. So I knew I wanted to do something in that field. And, you know, life happens, kids, years go by. Went back to school for psychology, you know, still in that mold, the thoughts and helping people. And, you know, I don't know, life coaches just started to resurface for me. I started seeing things on Google. I started researching. I completed a program to get certified and it wasn't very valuable, but it gave me a push to say, hey, okay, well, I'm actually a life coach. And after that, days were Radiant. At the time, it was Radiant Health Institute. I just started seeing things on Google and she was the only person, only organization in my area that actually had a legit coaching business. So it's like we found each other, just to be honest, and we just communicated back and forth. And she was like, hey, it's okay that you're certified, you know, with someone else. You could still be certified through my company. And so I went that route and it's been a phenomenal journey.
I love that. I love that. For my listeners, Jazz and I, we met at Radiant Academy. Finally, I'm a certified holistic coach too by Radiant. So yay!
Hey.
I'm going for my ACC first and then BCC, hopefully in the future MCC as well. So we have said to talk about self-worth and a lot of other branching topics around that. And that has been something that's the first thing that I ever claimed. My unapologetic journey, my self-worth, if I can say that. That self-worth topic, and this started even before I became a coach. As a business owner, I had to be a leader, but it's kind of hard to do that if, you know, you don't see your self-worth, and it goes around with so many things. It creeps in with so many things, like with pricing, with dealing with people, with dealing with the public, your messaging, and like how strong can you be? And like, how are you going to deal with people going against you or like the quote unquote haters, right? If you question your own self-worth. And there's this thing going around in online business platforms or like in social media where when you're pricing in your business, you know your self-worth and then add tax. I'm actually opposed to that. because there's no way to measure your self-worth at all. Like, there's absolutely no way. I mean, tell me if you guys, any of you, reach out to me on Instagram, if you guys like found a way to measure somebody's self-worth and say, nope, she's not worthy, we can't be friends with her, you can't sit with us. But in my perspective, and I wasn't sure at that time if I was right, but something like did not sit well with me with those things being said by, you know, coaches in the business management world, where as a business owner, know your self-worth, know your worth, attach to it. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Right. How do I know how I price my stuff? Right. And I think that my work, for example, my earrings right now, the worth of my earrings right now would be different on my perspective. Because we have to remember, people see the world in their lens, not in your lens. So my earrings can be worth, like, I want to say $50, but like somebody who doesn't know sculpting and polymer clay artistry, they just see like regular, you know, cheap earrings that's not made of gold or anything, you know, crazy. And it's not worth $50 to them. So that's like the journey. That was one of my beginning internal work that I had to work through in my unapologetic journey, because again, it's hard to say, it's hard to even create boundaries if you don't know your self-worth. So tell us, first of all, define Jazzy's definition of self-worth and what's the background story of it all?
Self-worth, it's just individual personal value on how you measure yourself. And it doesn't necessarily mean in comparison to anyone else. It's just how you feel about yourself. You know, are you worthy to, like you state, like be paid a certain amount for coaching sessions? You know, are you worthy to have this particular partner in life? Are you worthy? It's just a measurement of how you value life. And I went through a lot of challenges with that for the majority of my life, just to be honest. And it's crazy because a lot of people that meet me, I'm not perfect, which I am perfect. I'm perfect in my own right. Let me say that. But they look at me and feel like, oh, you've never went through anything. Just, you're so empowering to women. You know, you just have this confidence about you. Granted, I do, but it wasn't always like that. So my challenges started as a young child. My parents have 7 kids, including myself, 2nd to the youngest, you know. And so just being in a large household, it's really easy to get overlooked. It's really easy to be made fun of as far as if your siblings are a little different from you. And the biggest thing with me is, and most of the Black communities, is the lighter skin complexion, and it's the darker skin. So my sister is very fair skinned. She's actually about your complexion. And so it was a lot of, you know, kind of division with that as far as you're dark and she's light, which created my perception as dark means ugly, you know, because you can clearly see the difference between how darker skin is treated. Like I said, this has been going on. You know, we can trace all this back to slavery. You hear about the house slave and the field slave, you know, so that's a big trauma as well that's been just passed on generation to generation. So, and then also coming from parents who, I won't say discouraged, I was never discouraged, but if your mother didn't tell you you were beautiful, you may not understand the importance of telling your child that she's beautiful. You know, coming from parents, coming from that era that affection may not be top of the line. It's more so take care of the family, you know, work, make sure we have a roof over our head. So just coming from that and just developing my own idea about myself, developing my own self-worth. And that reflection told me that, you know, I don't compare to this person. I'm not beautiful. You know, just things started stacking up. And, you know, growing up, I just pretty much been myself, the same person I am now. But like with my friends, you know, it was convenient. Everybody came to me for advice, you know, but when it was time to, you know, get invited somewhere, you know, I may not have been on that list. So just over the years growing up, things just, they stacked up, and it took a long time to get out of that. And not knowing or understanding my self-worth, I accepted a lot, ended up in an abusive relationship, knowing I didn't deserve it, but not fully understanding myself and why I didn't deserve it. Yeah, I've been used and abused, but also held myself accountable.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I have not heard it that way, that not knowing your self-worth can be a potential way for you to get into abusive relationships. I know there could be many factors to it, but I've just had this conversation, if I can insert this story here, yesterday with a, let me call it, with a white American, well, he's not American, with a, well, he's still in the Americas, with a white American male predator with the colonizer attitude. We were on a phone call. It was for a potential project that I was going to work on. And 10 minutes into the call, he was trying to stab into my self-worth. Suddenly, he's measuring me up and like, well, I actually have a lot of other people who does what you do, and then they're as expert as you are. And this is really a good, nice company to be a part of. And you're going to learn a lot from me. And so like, he's just stabbing into that. The question before that was about, what are you looking for? And it led me, I am as, you know, as authentic as can be. And I just told him my story, told him what 2020 and 2021 did to me and how I am still recovering from that, as all of us are. And I saw him, well, I looked at him as a human being. I was trying to like speak to him eye to eye. And then he found his in and stabbed me right there. And like twisted the knife and say, you are not worthy. This position is not for you. And like, you are like less than everybody else. And so you deserve to be abused. And my tendency was, if it was a conversation with me 2 years ago, I would have wanted to be a part of that team. I would have wanted to prove him that he's wrong, that I deserve that role, that I deserve recognition. And I would have bargained and say, okay, then what can I do to be a part of that team? Right. What can I do to get this job? Even if I don't care about the job, just because he got there. But because of the journey that I've worked, 15 minutes in the call when he was starting to do his colonizer attitude, I said, I agree. It's not a great fit. Thank you for your time. Bye.
I'm funny. You didn't expect that.
And I ended the call and I'm like, holy shit, who's that girl? Who's that woman right there who just ended the call? And it was, you know, it was an attractive opportunity. What it could mean to me is like funding all of my stuff and funding all of my creative projects while I could still perform some of the great things that I, you know, I'm still good at. It's not coaching, but I am still happy to create systems. And I hated that other women could be in that call, could be in that position and have not found their self-worth yet. And they would have succumbed to the quote unquote opportunity to learn from this guy who knows nothing at all because he's Jon Snow. He knows nothing. Like, if anything, I already know what he knows. And that's why, and it reminded me why I do what I do in the world. I'm like, ugh. I've just been reminded why I am a coach and why I am back at doing business coaching because of this people telling you that you should do your business a certain way that stabs into people's trauma and self-worth and nervous system. It was trying to get in there and like shake you up, like shake up your nervous system and tell you you are not worthy. And so prove yourself. And that means like, you know, be open to abuse.
Right.
So that just reminded me of your explanation of being in an abusive relationship because you haven't found your self-worth yet.
It's like going in a situation with your guards down.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to protect yourself.
Yeah. So how did you, and I know this is still me in some days, for our listeners who are clouded on, where do you begin actually?
Within. It may sound kind of cliche, but literally you do have to begin within. You have to get to a point where you're tired and disgusted and just completely worn out and to even have the idea that something else is possible. At the time, you may not know what, you may not have an actual plan or goal, but just to know that something else is possible and just a little hint of, I do deserve something better. And from there, you are able to pull yourself out of it. You know, I didn't have a support system. Most of my journeys that I went through, there was no immediate support. So I relied on myself. I relied on, what do you want out of life? You know, who are you? Where are you becoming? What do you deserve? You know, what are you going to tolerate? What do you have patience for? You know, so for the people that do have a support system, that is beautiful. But still, at the end of the day, you have to rely on yourself. You have to go within and figure out what's in there, figure out what you want to shift or what you want to even expose. You know, everyone has a different healing journey, but, you know, this is life and, you know, nothing is too far-fetched from each other.
Okay.
But it's definitely within.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is that if this is a journey that you want to start, and what so far, half an hour into the conversation, what Zazie and I have been discussing is that self-worth is one of the stepping stones into all of the journeys that she and I have been both doing for the past lifetime of our lives. And self-worth is a key factor to that. And that self-worth is being used and tossed around all over the internet, especially in the spiritual world. And that would mean different to you. And your self-worth is your own definition, whatever you would like it to look like. You're having a self-worth, or like your self-worth, is not based on your, absolutely not your color, not based on your body type, not based on your titles, your educational background, your bank account, on nothing. Your existence alone, like from the day or even before you were born, because God is so good, like he's so awesome like that, or whoever the higher being you believe in, you have been created and formulated before your human body came together. And from that moment, you are worthy already, because your purpose lies on your pure existence and stepping into 100% who you are, what you're here for, and serving that. And that in itself, not, you know, without having to get an educational background, doing a job, earning a certain money, your existence alone makes you worthy. And so anything on top of that, if you become a coach and help people, if you finish education of whatever field that you want to do, if that's something that's important to you, if you become a doctor, a lawyer, if you have children and become a mom and raise a beautiful family, like that's like a bonus, like that's on top of your existence alone. Jazzy and I have defined self-worth in our own ways. And what we're getting into now is, how do you start? How do you get there? And I'm myself, I think I'm still working on it. I'm still like, there are still days where I'm like, oh, I'm not worthy of this. Who am I to actually do this, right? And so to begin, I'm actually doing a recap right now. So my listeners, you guys can write down the steps Jazzy just said, because that was like all God is like. So I'm going to bring it down to human form. You want to start from within. And that is, if you're someone who's going through something right now and you're like cloudy and just want to give up and like, I'm tired of being in an abusive relationship, of being a codependent, of attracting narcissistic people, I'm tired of all of the society failing me every single turn, I'm just tired of not winning, I'm tired of that. And so if you're that person, and Jazzy would tell you it starts from within, my reaction would be, what the fuck, Jazzy? Give me something here. But there's really no silver bullet. That is the only way. That is the only answer, is to go within, because you have it in you. And so I'm going to go back to what I was saying earlier, that even before your human form was created, you are already worthy. And so it's just a matter of you recognizing that and claiming that and believing that there's nothing more that you need to know. Like, that's it? I just go within and believe that I'm worthy? Like, tell me more. What?
See, with me, it's crazy because I have so many tools and techniques that I provide that I didn't necessarily do for myself. And so that's why it's so important when I do connect with my like-minded clients, for them to understand that there is processes, because like I said, I didn't have a support system. I just figured, I literally just went in and figured everything out. But just to give some tools and some steps, of course, I do recommend journaling. A lot of people say, well, I don't write. I don't know how to write. I don't know what to say. It's different methods. You can record yourself. You can literally write it out. You could do a video. Just start somewhere. And even if you can only get out 4 words, just start somewhere. And it could be something as simple like, how am I feeling today? Or you can think of a word and you can speak about that word. Just something to get you in emotion. I also highly recommend doing mirror work. That can be affirmations. That can be saying a vow to yourself, but literally looking at yourself in the mirror, because we don't want to face ourselves. There's so many women who don't actually look at themselves in the mirror, because again, it's that we have to be strong all the time. Lie is what I call it, is a lie. So in pushing through thinking and believing we have to be strong all the time, we miss ourselves. We miss the inner part of ourselves. So it's important to look in the mirror and speak to yourself. So I would start there.
Yes. Now that you have the tools to start going within, to doing a reflection of how you think, I think I've been doing diary since I was a kid. Since I started, I actually pushed myself to learn reading because I love reading even before I could read. And I pushed myself to start writing because I see this fancy, you know, I saw it from the TV, like this girls who would have a diary and who would be, I'm a 90s kid. Dear diary, this is what happened today. So I've had like plenty of diary before all this fancy bullet journaling and like you know, started. And then I stopped again because I started popping out kids instead of doing dear diaries. And I just came back to it in 2019. I would write checklists, to-do lists, but not really journal. I remember my journal entry in 2019. My sister gifted me this notebook and I wrote, I don't fucking know how to do this, but somebody said online that this is going to be helpful and it's going to be healing. It doesn't make sense, but here I am writing stupid stuff. I don't even know what it is. And then suddenly I'm just, you know, reforming it. And then suddenly I was writing, I actually have an idea. I wanted to do AntoinettePlacidas.com and I'm going to be writing a blog. I'm going to be sharing a part of myself. I don't know where that's going to lead me, but I think that's a cool idea. That was my first entry of my back to journaling. And AntoinettePlacidas.com right now is my holistic life and business coaching and also like the very beginning of Footsteps of Unapologetic. And so journaling has been powerful for me, and whatever medium it could be, like to some people, it could be painting, because words are so human that you need to tap into your goddess form through colors and it's unexplainable, but you know, you found a piece of yourself through that, or yoga or dancing. I mean, TikTok, you could do TikTok and you'd be surprised. Like, holy fuck, that's like yoga and TikTok. Of the Gen Z's. But yeah, like, so start from within. And the second step that you mentioned is that identify who you want to be, what you're not available for, and not exactly as you said it, but kind of set boundaries around that. Tell me more about that piece.
The mirror, the actual reflection of it.
Yeah, I mean, so identify what I want to be. And thinking back to, I'm still building my self-worth, right? And I'm like, who am I going to be? I don't even know who I am right now. Like, it's so hard to identify who I want to be and create boundaries around that. I feel like building your self-worth is kind of a chicken and egg problem, because you need to set your boundaries. You need to like claim who you are and like really step into that and say, this is who I am and I'm not available for anything else that's not, you know, within my boundaries. At least in the beginning, you know, you grow and you learn. But that'll be hard to do if you don't have self-worth, if you don't value yourself. So I feel like it's a chicken and egg thing. And so what we're saying is that go within and then identify that. So do you literally just go and write, okay, the person that I've been wanting to be is this person who believes in this, who like talks about this or who does this, and just embody that.
Well, there's a journal prompt that I ask my mind control goddesses, and they get hung up on it when we talk about self-awareness. And the prompt is who I am versus who I desire to be, to get the wheels turning. Because if you're in a place where you're feeling unsettled, you feel like you don't know who you are, you don't understand your purpose, you don't know your passion. And that's probably the number one thing that I deal with my clients is they don't know. They've been in this autopilot, this go, go, go mentality that they don't know. But to just acknowledge who you are, where you are in this state, and then create a vision for yourself. You know, it can actually surprise you if you was to sit down and do that, because it could be something that you did when you were 6 years old. And now you're remembering that you really enjoyed doing that. And like you said about painting, it could be something as simple as that, like, hey, you know, when I was a child, I enjoyed painting. So I could consider, you know, it's not an overnight thing. You can go through different processes and different steps to get to a level of understanding of yourself to figure out. Like I said, I went to school for social work and then I went back for psychology. And the whole time, it wasn't that. It was a life coach. It was being a holistic coach. But that was the path I had to take to really fine tune who I am and who I desire to be. But yeah, just working your way up to say, this is who I am in this present moment. And let me start doing some sorting. Let me sort some things out.
I love that. I love that. That is really simple, but I think really powerful once you get into it. And as you ask that, I'm like, oh, who am I? And who am I? Oh my goodness. I'm probably going to journal around that. I feel like I am getting to my desired version of self, and that always changes. Anytime that you get to that desired version of yourself, you'd be surprised. And I'm kind of actually frustrated because then there's another desired version of myself. Like, ugh, I'm done with this level. I actually want to be level 10. And sometimes you would get to that desired version of you, who you are, and you change your mind. You actually don't want to be that person. Right. And that's okay too.
Right. Absolutely.
One thing that I want to bring light to is that once you step into that, I'm kind of shifting now. Once you step into that desired version of who you are, who has and believes in and protects her self-worth, her boundaries, her self-awareness, and embodies her core values and her movement. Once you step into that, one of the things that I personally have been encountering and that tells me that, oh, I'm actually embodying my desired version of self now, because I'm getting people who hates me. I'm getting people who doesn't like me. I'm getting people who doesn't like what I talk about and what I stand for and who are uncomfortable.
That's the word I was going to use. Absolutely.
And I absolutely know it's not about me at all, but it does also still make me uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm making you uncomfortable. But I was in a coaching session yesterday with a client, and this came up for her as well, that what if she has this amazing website who has amazing statements? Her website has a statement around welcoming people of color, welcoming LGBTQ community, standing up for women, and being anti-patriarchy. And that is something that she's still processing and sitting with, because it's a statement and that will ignite something for some people. And those are clearly not her people. But because we are taught to always be nice and we're trying to, you know, people please everyone, she said, what if like somebody would come into my website and hate me for it? And I said, then you know that you made your website well. Then you know that you're embodying what you believe in, that you're embodying who you want to be, that you already are that person. And I shared her a story of, in one of my Zoom sessions, it was a one-on-one, and the conversation just went through my use of white people and how uncomfortable that was. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, the whole thing is that we're not people of color, women of color especially, do not like taking spaces because there was no space.
Right.
There's always no space for us. And it prompted me to apologize. and say, I'm sorry, I made you uncomfortable. But I didn't say that. That's like in my head. And I said, huh, that's interesting that you're uncomfortable. I'm going to make an effort to look into and reach out to my sisters and see if there are better words that they use to refer to white colonizers who stole land from the people of color and still making it hard for the people, especially in America, to live their daily lives. But I'll check with them. There's a different term that I should use. But until then, that's how I will refer to the white colonizer. I mean, if you know in your heart that you are not that, I do have white, you know, clients, women clients who are of white descent, like 100% white. And I work with them. We work together. Like, they're active allies. If you know that you're not that and you're fighting racism alongside people of color, then there's no need for you to feel uncomfortable or anything.
Right.
But that occasion was nerve-wracking to me. I'm like, I know I just talk about all of these things in like my blog, my social media, to my friends. And suddenly I was put into that. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm actually doing the work that I said I was going to do. How fascinating. So it can be uncomfortable. It's not like all just flowers and rainbows. You know, you recognize your self-worth. And in every single turn, you have to protect that. So that is so crazy. I was just reading your website and I love here what you said that often, and you've said this a little bit earlier, but you said here, often we have to experience hardships in order to learn our most valuable lessons in life. I have dealt with feeling alone, unworthy, and unappreciated. Carrying that mindset created a fear-based lifestyle and victim persona, which is just what you said, like just, you know, always survival mode. So I want to ask, what has been the most valuable lesson in life for you? If there's only one thing.
The most valuable lesson, I would say, is to surrender outside of yourself. When I was paralyzed for 3 months, I had no choice but to process my thoughts, my internal feelings, because physically I could not feel just how my life was going and why. I wasn't angry. At times I was a little afraid, because I was a single mother and kids were 2 and 4 years old at the time. I had lost my job, and so therefore I lost my apartment. At that point, I was rock bottom and I had to surrender to, what is my purpose? What is my meaning in life? Who am I? I had to surrender to know that I do believe in faith. You know, I do believe that things are possible outside of my current state of being. So I had to surrender to not knowing.
Thanks for sharing. How that is so difficult, to just surrender and like, and being a single mom and, you know, being literally just what you said, like paralyzed, like not having support or access to anything at all. How did you get out of that? How did you finally, you know, recover?
So physically, on the physical end, my body actually just repaired itself. So a very rare autoimmune disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And so I just, time allowed for my body to, I guess, rejuvenate. It was a new me. But to come out of that surrender part, I began a journey. And that is the first time I really started to question, like, who am I and what is my purpose? You know, it's that scenario, who am I versus who I desire to be? So that's the first time I got into that mode, because before that, it was strictly survival mode, strictly, you know, strong all the time. You know, even the first day when I had to be placed in a nursing home because the hospital could no longer assist me. They tried methods and, you know, my condition wasn't improving. So the first day I got to the nursing home and they set me up in a wheelchair, and my father told me, he said, you don't have to be strong all the time. And that was the first time in over a month that I've actually even cried, considering my circumstances. So that whole process of allowing me to start breaking down these walls and to surrender and start questioning, you know, who am I? You know, what is my purpose? I know this is a journey. I know I'm supposed to use my story to help other women. I was 26. You know, who's 26 living in a nursing home? You know, so I just started to formulate, like, there's something greater, something more powerful. Otherwise, you know, what is the purpose? Why am I here? Why are my kids living with my sister? Why am I technically homeless at this point? And, you know, having to figure out where am I going to leave after I get out of the hospital? So, yeah, I was literally stripped away. So I felt I had no choice but to start questioning the surrender portion of what's next.
Right. Do you, and I hear this statement, a breakdown before a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that we all go through hardships and suffering because we are being prepared to, and you have to surrender in that hardship and suffering for you to be prepared for the bigger person that you need to be? Or is there a way to go around it and just be your steady, grounded self?
I believe more so going through things, simply because if we don't, where is the lesson? Like, where is the lesson? Where's the growth? Where's the elevation? Where's the spiritual elevation? Now, do I believe it's possible for some people just to smoothly go through life? Absolutely. But, you know, that's a very fine line, because trauma is based off perspectives, you know. So I think we all experience something. It's just on different levels. You know, my traumatic experience, it sounds so horrible, but then someone else, it could be something simple as they were yelled at, you know, as a child, and now their whole world just spun out of control, because it depends on that person, you know. But I definitely believe more so that we all go through something in life to look at the contrast. We have to have contrast in life. Everything is light and dark, night and day, up and down, you know, in and out. It has to be a contrast in order for us to see that opposite side, to learn something from it.
I love that. And that is reassuring to hear. I speak for my listeners when I say that you sharing that part of your life, the difficult part of your life, is comforting. That if any one of us are going through difficulties and going through life-changing moments, that here is Jazzy. She's like on the other side, and there is another side to this. 2020, I will start from 2019. 2019, 2020, 2021 has done a number on me and to all of us, you know, globally. And if you're going through something difficult right now, this episode is for you. Like, Jazzy's story is like inspiring. You are the light that's peeking through that small window in the darkness right now. I will say that. And just hearing that you've gone through that experience and to appreciate the contrast to that could be hard in the moment where you're still, you know, in that position. And learning to surrender with great courage takes great courage. And like, how do you do just that? To do nothing and surrender when you were raised to be strong and to fight and always overcome things. That should be taught in school.
Yeah, it should. I mean, because you get to a position in your life when you have no choice but to surrender, you know, and it may not be, you know, a physical paralysis. It could be a mental paralysis, emotional paralysis, but just getting to a point where there's no other options but for you to be still, and for you to surrender, and for you to let go, and for you to think about alternatives. You know, because a lot of women, they don't know that there's alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to wrap that whole sentence and say that if you're going through a difficulty right now, and it would seem like there's no other way out of it, and it would seem like you're just done, and this is just going to be your life forever, and you're powerless, just not able to do anything or rely on anything, building a life out of house of cards, just like nothing is working at all, and you're scared, know that you're being asked to stay still. That the lesson here is not to acquire or do anything, but to just stay still. And if you've been a listener of mine, and Jazzy knows this because Jazzy and I have been in connection in our community, I feel that you, the 29 is for me. I feel that I'm calling you in. This is something that I've been going through. If you've been listening through my episodes, episode 4, I talked about my mother's death 20 days after my COVID recovery. My chapter for my Radiant graduation, I thought I wasn't going to be able to finish. I wrote that in the hospital. It was my COVID love affair, which I'll send you a copy. And I thought I wasn't going to finish it. At one point, I gave up and I said my goodbyes because it was like 6 days of drowning, of not being able to breathe. And my body just, you know, is ready to check out. What's left for me is my spirit. And it has been hard since then. It's been difficult. And so it could feel like sometimes that, is this going to be my life now? Is this it? Is this what, you know, I'm led to do? And I do get that it's easy to not see that there's other ways, that there's another side. And what I've been believing is that I am asked, like I'm strongly being asked to stay still. Because every time I try to do something to turn my situation around, it would fail. It doesn't work out. Like just, is my God punishing me right now? Is the question that's coming to my head. But my God is not that type of God. I don't know what, you know, the gods that you all believe in. My own God is not going to punish me, is not going to give me hardships just for the cause of giving me hardships. I'm being taught. For the rest of my life, I was taught so many lessons and to go forth and do and deliver. And right now, the lesson is to sit still and just wait. And that's been hard to swallow, to just sit here and like, I feel like I'm put on a timeout. Are we done yet? I'm ready to be not on a timeout here in the corner. But it is so comforting and somewhat healing to hear about your story. And like, I'm not in a situation near what you've experienced, thank goodness. I have a roof over my head. I have food on my table. I have my kids with me. I'm going to cry. I cry every time I talk about my kids. I have my kids with me. I have a husband with me. And I have all of these amazing people around my life. I have skill set and capabilities. I have my support system within myself. Although sometimes it feels like I don't. It feels like, oh, I'm just done. You know, but hearing your story is empowering, really, that, oh my goodness, Jazzy made it. I'm going to make it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I share all of that to, honestly, I feel like my podcast is a series of all of my traumatic experiences. But I share all of that and like open my vulnerability to you all to let you know that I am right there with you. And Jazzy here, our special guest for this episode, is a living proof that the lesson of sitting still is a thing, that we're not being punished, we're not, right, you know, put on suffering, right, because we've done something wrong.
Right.
That we need to surrender outside of our human wisdom.
Right.
Because there are bigger things, bigger than us, that's being planned for us to do. And so you just gotta wait. I really feel that in my gut, but I'm like, any moment now, I'm ready for you to confirm. And I'm receiving you and your story here as a confirmation for me that this is my current mission, to just not do anything at all.
And it's okay. It's okay to not do anything at all because you're still doing.
Yeah, thanks, Jazzy. Okay, there's so many more things that I have like have in my head to like, okay, let's talk about this and let's talk about that. But we're going to be here all day and I don't want to take your whole Friday. Is there anything else that you wanted to share to the show, to whoever's listening right now?
Yeah, just show up for yourself. And something I learned along the way, just about everything, those who are for you will show up for you as long as you show up for yourself. Those who don't, they're not your tribe. They're not your people. And that's okay. And this can include, you know, childhood friends, family members, whomever, because we're all on our own individual spiritual path in life. And everyone else is just extras. We're just bonuses in each other's life. So those who you cross paths with, you know, either they're going to teach you something, you're going to teach them something, it's going to be some learning some sort of way, you know. So don't look at any situation as being bad or from a negative light. just gather what you can from the situation and use it for your growth, use it for your individual elevation and spread it. Like I said, I didn't have a necessarily support system. You know, I literally went in and taught myself. So now I'm grateful that I have the ability to share my story and to share what I can to help other women who don't know that there is possibilities there. There are alternatives. And it is definitely possible to heal.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jazzy. So all of Jazzy's links will be found in the show notes below. But where could people find you and connect with you?
Well, I am on Facebook. It might be the quickest way. I do have a group page as well, but you can friend me. It is under Jazzy Sibilic. I am on Instagram and TikTok under Mindset Coach Jazzy. And of course, just the website. Any of those, easy access to get to me and to check in what I'm doing. And I have different workshops and things like that. So I would love to have you.
Yay. Thanks, Jazzy. Thank you so much.